Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, there's people still standing in the back. There's plenty of great seats up in the front row, everyone. Okay, getting a lot of head shakes. Okay, it's great to be back with you guys. I had shared with you guys a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the big news in our house is that we had our first graduate from high school, Sam Shaw, and I'm just using this as another excuse to show a picture of him. This is me. You know it's a big deal. I slapped on a tie for the occasion. And it has been fun. There has been pomp and circumstance. At graduation, there was all this talk about their future and all the great things that are ahead of them. This is a new beginning. Are you ready to make your mark? We can't even imagine the great places God is going to take you. Someone shared that. Well, for my son, the very next day, God sent him to one of those places. And specifically, he sent him to Cane's Chicken Fingers, where he worked the 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift. And when he came home in the middle of the night, he was exhausted, and by his estimation, he had made hundreds of pieces of Texas toast and learned the dark art of cleaning out a fryer and the fryer trap. What is a fryer trap? He said, "You don't want to know, Dad." And I guarantee you that when he was listening to those graduation speeches, when they were echoing in his brain, this is not what he had imagined, right? And most of us have been in this space at one point in our life, maybe not Cane's specifically. And maybe it's after one day of a job or 50 days of a job or 5 years, but at some point we come face to face with these questions, don't we? Is this it? Is this what I was meant to do? Is this what work is all about? I read a survey recently, and it said the percentage of engaged workers in the United States is now 34%. Engaged means those who are involved in, enthusiastic about, and committed to their work and workplace. And 34%, and the article was like, this is the highest it's been in recorded history. This is a time to celebrate. I'm like, one in three people is actually engaged in work, and this is good news. They said also worldwide it's 13%. Yeah, I know. We are in desperate need of something, aren't we? We are in desperate need of vision. We are in desperate need of a vision for our lives, a vision for our work, a vision that goes beyond working for the weekend or working for that next paycheck or to feel good about ourselves or to impress our friends or to tell our family we've made something good of ourselves, right? We talk about this concept a lot. One of the central concepts we see in the life and teaching of Jesus is simply this: there is a bigger kingdom. There is God's kingdom. And the kingdom of God is where God's reign and his rule is truly being realized and it's being experienced. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Kingdom servants have a lifestyle that is different. So the question is, how does this apply to our work? Have you ever asked that? How does being a follower of Jesus affect our work? Guys, we invest so much of our lives in work, don't we? So many hours of our week, and yet, listen to this. I read another survey that said 84% of Christians who are between 18 and 29, which is a lot of you guys, have no idea how the Bible relates to their field or their professional life. 84%. So what we've decided to do, take this opportunity to do, is to start a four-week series we're calling Cultivate. And the goal of the series is simply this. We want to connect our walk with Jesus to our daily work. We want to figure out how to take what we talk about in this space on Sunday and change how we approach our work on Monday and the rest of the week. So we're going to get into Scripture and figure out what God has to say for us, to tell us about that. But before we start, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this time. Lord, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to come, even when it's raining, and just worship you and honor you. And Lord, we do not want to be a people who sing songs and say things while we're in this space and then walk out these doors and forget who we follow. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes, that this morning would be an eye-opening time where you would give us eyes to see how we might be your followers in the midst of all of our work, all of our endeavors, all of our pursuits, that we might see how you can change how we live. Lord, we ask this in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so why do we work at all? Well, let's start at the beginning. I know it's the first part of the series, so you know we're going back to Genesis. This is in Genesis chapter 1. God created, right? And this is in verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them as food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And so it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from his work that he had done in creation. Now, many of you are familiar with this passage. You've heard this before. Maybe if you're here for our sex series, you're like, hey, that sounds familiar. Be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, we talked about it then too. And I want to just draw a couple observations about work from this passage from the very beginning. And the first is simply this: we are designed for work. We are designed for work. We see it right there in the beginning. We see work. The Bible talks about work almost as soon as it begins talking about anything else. And let me make a clarification here. When I use the word work, I want to broaden what you're thinking of. I'm not thinking of just a paid job, right? I want to include everything that you're investing in, everything meaningful that you're investing in, every pursuit that you have, whether you're volunteering or responsibilities in your church, your community, your household, your families, anything that's meaningful, that is a task or a pursuit in your life. We're designed for work. In Genesis, actually, creation is described as work, right? And tied to creation is this cycle of work and rest. A pattern is formed: 6 days of creation, 1 day of rest. It's a pattern lived out by God himself and then given to us. He did it. He showed us. And so here we are, made in his image, and we're called to follow this pattern. And I mentioned this, you may think, well, okay, that's kind of obvious. What are the implications of this? Think about the implications. What that means is work is not the product of the fall of man. Work is not a necessary evil. I asked my daughter, why do we work? And she said, my parents told me to get a job, which is true, actually. But that's not the purpose of work. And we see that message all around us, right? Work is the worst. What do we complain about? Oh, our job is so hard. It's so stressful. I don't like it. Part of the American dream is what? It's to be wealthy and free from work, right? We want to maximize our leisure, maximize our rest. We sit around and we envy those people who are rich enough to not do anything, right? Oh, wouldn't that be sweet? No, it would not be sweet. Do you realize that? Listen to me. The dream of not doing anything, of being free from work, that is not a kingdom dream. Do you realize that? That's an illusion. And in fact, there are people who live that way. People who are retired and don't have purpose and work. And this is one of the most common complaints folks have at the end of their days, is that they wish they had more meaningful things to do. They wish they had more to invest in. Because we need work, because we're designed for work. So this illusion that work is the enemy and we need to get away from it, it is not kingdom oriented. In fact, we can see it, right? They're in the garden. They're in paradise, and we see work. How do you explain that? In fact, 6 days of work and one of rest. I was reading a book by Tim Keller, and he says it this way, and I thought this was really thought-provoking. Just chew on this. Work is so foundational in our makeup that it is one of the few things that we can take in really significant doses without harm. 6 days of work, one of rest. This isn't like something that we have to just get through. We were made for this. But listen, you weren't just designed for work. There is dignity in work. There is great dignity in work. One of the marks that set humans apart of human dignity is that we alone are commissioned and given work. Look at the language. God has created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And then he immediately says, look, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish. And this is not something that God commissions us to do because it's beneath him, stuff he doesn't want to get done, right? Sometimes I'll do this with my kids, like, ugh, maybe I can get one of my kids to do this. I don't want to do it. That's not the scenario here. I'm not a great father. God's a good father. Remember, Alexa told us that. He did it. He still does it. The Gospel of John, Jesus says, my Father is working until now, and I am working. He is at work. He is moving. This is something he's been engaged in, and we are being invited to join him. Hey, you know what? You're created in my image. Join me in work. I was thinking about this. Just this idea that work is something that has been passed along to us. And I was thinking about this building, actually. Many of you know this already, but this building was owned by Neal Avenue Baptist Church up until 3 years ago. And this church, for 60 years, was planted in this neighborhood. And they worshiped in this building, and they shared the gospel with those around in the city. And they were a light in this neighborhood and served this people and this community. And then 3 years ago, they gave us this building. And the reason they gave us these buildings, the reason they gave us, because they were convinced that somehow we would continue the work that they had been doing. Right? They said, look, we love this place, and we love these people, and we think that you will love them too, so take this building and do it. And there's great honor in that, isn't there? There's great dignity in that. We don't like, oh, man, I can't believe it. Now we got this building. Now we gotta make sure it's good, because then I guess we got to serve these people. There's something so inherently honoring and dignified in that. And guys, I want you to catch this. This is God's intention for us. And I know that in Genesis 3, you're like, yeah, this isn't the whole story. Genesis 3, it gets complicated and broken and man falls. But this can still be what we live out as followers of Christ, right? We believe this. We believe that all of us have sinned and rebelled and gone our own way. But that through Christ, through faith in Christ, believing in him, we can have our relationship with God restored. Only through him. That it's through faith in Christ. And that we can be a new creation. And then in that moment, we are invited into his kingdom where his reign and rule are experienced. And we come to places like this or gatherings like this and we worship him and we honor him. But now when we step out of this building, everything we invest in, all of our work, all of our endeavors are infused with dignity and purpose because we have an opportunity to represent Jesus in those spaces. We have an opportunity to represent his kingdom. And in some way, we're getting a taste of what was in the garden, where our God has entrusted things to us, and we can say, yes, I will take them, I will run with them. Right? I love when Evan shared in his slice, he realized at some point God wanted every day from him. And there are moments where we see that. And I just want us to stop for a second, and I want to ask this question. How does this compare to your view of work? And you can picture whatever you want. You can picture your job. You can picture your responsibilities in school. Picture your responsibilities in the home. How does this sort of picture of work compare to what you live in on a day-to-day basis? You know, some of us, we have many different views of work, right? Work is a necessary evil. We only work to pay the bills. We work because it's punishment or it's drudgery. But we have this super complicated relationship with work, don't we? Even though we don't like it a lot, we feel enslaved by it. I read this. I thought this was fascinating. American workers forfeit nearly 50% of their paid vacation every year. Like, they just don't use it. 10% take no vacation days at all, and it's the fear of falling behind. It's the number one reason they aren't using their vacation time. So we don't like it. We're upset about it, but we're almost addicted to it at times, and it's because deep down we see work as a pathway to what we really hunger for, whether it's glory or money or comfort or pleasure or relevancy or to impress our friends or impress our family. Imagine being free from that for just a second. Imagine, as we talk about all the time, imagine knowing that your value and your identity come from Christ alone. Right? The work that he has done for you, that your identity before God is now secure. You have nothing to prove. You are made in his image. You are loved and you are cared for. And now being free to invest your time and energy into work wholeheartedly. Not because you have something to prove or not because you're trying to gain something, because you know you were designed for this. And you know that God has entrusted things to you. And you truly believe that each and every moment, each and every endeavor that you participate in is an opportunity to glorify him. An opportunity to let his kingdom be more a part of what's happening right now. Where his reign and his rule is being experienced by not just you, but by other people because of what you do and the attitude that you have. Imagine what it would have been like for Adam and Eve in this moment. Right? I can't even picture it, but God, the creator, saying, hey, I got some stuff for you to do. Like, we look at this and think, this sounds like an adventure. And yet somehow in our lives, we don't walk out the door every day and think, adventure. Right? I just celebrated my anniversary yesterday with my wife. We had this sweet moment, and she got me something, because she realizes as we get older, it's harder and harder. This is a little known fact. It's harder and harder to capture this sense of excitement and purpose for work. I don't know if you knew that. So every day I have this more aches and pains. I'm going a little bit slower. And it's easy to be tempted to think, I just got to get through the day. And so she made this for me. Because we love the movie Up. Have you guys seen Up? Is that too old? And that's the little phrase, adventure is up there, and she bought a mat, and she painted that on there for me, and she said, hey, why don't you put this at the exit of your little office so that you know when you are walking out of this space, something great you're participating in. Isn't that cool? We need that, don't we? We need that constant reminder. How would this view of work change your life? What if we could capture that sense of purpose, that sense of dignity for what you're doing? How would that change your life? How would that change your attitude and your perspective? So what exactly would this look like? Guys, we're going to talk about this for 4 weeks, okay? So we have a long way to go. But what I want to do is just highlight two things that have stuck out to me as I've been thinking about these passages and reading it. How our attitude might change. God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And when we hear that, we tend to think, okay, we gotta make some babies, it sounds like. And that's part of it. But at its core, what are they being commissioned to do? They're being invited to share in this work of creation that God began, right? Making families, making societies, creating civilization. And I really believe this. In our best moments, we can see our work as creation, can't we? That something is being created through the investment of my time and energy. That we are following in the footsteps of God. We are creating things, or we're creating connections, or we're creating relationships, or we're creating a culture, or we're simply bringing order from chaos. Think about that. You have not been invited to just survive your workday. You've been invited to create. And that word subdue, it communicates our call to exert our will and affect this world, not violently, not forcefully, but the sense is that as God's image bearers, we are now stewards of this place. And it's not a passive word. It involves an intentional and real assertion of our will. To have purpose. You know, in our world, we get so wrapped up in the what, don't we? When we talk about work, it's always about what job should I get and what career path should I take and what are my gifts and how should I best use them? And these are very valid questions. They're very important questions. But I wonder if in God's kingdom, the bigger question is how? How should I work? In the job that I have now, in the roles that I fill now, what am I going to create? How is God inviting me to bring his kingdom into this space, into this activity? What God-honoring vision and purpose do I have right now in this space? How am I exerting dominion in this arena to glorify God? To me, this is about looking at the spaces we're in already and asking God, why have you put me here? Why have you put me here? What do you have for me here? And I was thinking about this week, and I thought about the overcast. Are you guys here? You are here. Sydney and Winton, you guys know Sydney and Winton? Yeah, well, you should all know Sydney and Winton. They've been here for a number of years, and they're like movers and shakers, like a lot of you guys are. Sydney is a business owner. Winton is a doctor. He's going off to do his residency, and they will be gone here very soon from Columbus. They were here for 3 years. And I have never interacted with them in those high-powered spaces that they exist. I've only interacted with them as members of a city life group and as greeters. That's it. And the reason I thought about them is I thought they knew this was going to be a temporary home for themselves. And they knew they had this really important work they had to be invested in that they're fully engaged in and they're crushing. And they're representing Jesus in that space. It'd be easy for them to say, hey, you know what? We're just going to attend H2O. We'll just be here for a little bit and then we'll be on our way. But in the small context of being involved in a small group and being involved as greeters, they were fully engaged. We have gotten the joy of getting to watch them be fully engaged and wrestling with the question, what does God have for me here? And you might think, okay, what difference could those roles make? Right? Some of you might be sitting here and thinking, yeah, a lot of what I do, it seems very small. It seems very unimportant. You know, as I watched them and as I thought about them this week, I thought they intentionally created relationships in their life group, relationships some of which might last a lifetime. They bonded with other people and they facilitated people bonding with one another. They intentionally created a culture here. They injected warmth and laughter and joy and integrity. Part of who we are as a church is because of them saying, you know what, God has a purpose for me here. God has a purpose for me to wake up a little bit early and greet. And we are changed by that. That's the opportunity that we have. And some of you may be thinking, yeah, I don't have spaces where I can make much of an impact. I don't have roles that are big enough to create much of significance. Guys, God started out as a gardener. He came back as a carpenter. I think there's a reason for that. Right? We don't see in Scripture God calling us to the ways of the world with power and influence. In fact, we see quite the opposite. This is an upside-down revolution where men and women who are positions that don't seem that powerful are a part of changing the world through the power of God's Spirit. We have an opportunity. We can live with energy and purpose wherever we are. I want to ask you to think, what would be missing if you didn't show up to work? What would be missing? What would not be created if you weren't there? A little later in chapter 2, it says this. I got to keep going. I think I'm running late. I won't read this whole passage. I'll just read Genesis 2:15. You could look at the whole thing. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. We see this in Genesis 2. We see another picture, and we see Adam and Eve in a garden, and they're told, take care of this. Take care of this place. And that captures the second idea I want to highlight with you guys. Work is caretaking. we are being entrusted with something. We read these passages and it becomes abundantly clear. God has commissioned us. And the work is not about you. It's not about your legacy. It's not about your reputation, your power, your money, right? It's not about us. Everything we labor at, if it is meaningful or if it's good, has been entrusted to us by God. I read this recently, this quote. It says, "If the purpose of work is to serve and exalt something beyond ourselves, then we actually have a better reason to deploy our talent and our ambition and our vigor, and we are more likely to be successful in the long run." It's just like we talk about in almost every area of life. We talk about this with marriage, and we talk about this in relationships. We need a purpose that goes beyond ourselves. The Christian life, the life of following Jesus, is a call to a life with a purpose beyond ourselves, and our work is no exception. What you have, the tasks that you have, the roles and responsibilities that you have, they have been given to you for a purpose. God has given you something and said, take care of this. And guys, our work is an act of stewardship. And it changes everything if we think of it this way. You know, today is Father's Day, right? Happy Father's Day, all of you dads. And when I think about being a father, it provides an amazing example to me of this reality. You get these kids, right? I have four of them. God gives you children. We believe that, right? They are not mine. They have been entrusted to me. And believing that and knowing that brings a weight and it brings an honor. At times it is frustrating. Can I get an amen, Shaw kids? It is a downright infuriating. There are moments that I'm like, oh, I can't believe this. But let me tell you what a great father is not asking. A great father is not asking, what am I getting out of this? A great father is not asking, is this almost over? I can't wait to clock out. Right? A great father is not asking, will these kids be a pathway to future greatness? Is there a ladder I'm climbing here? No. But when you're a father, every moment is infused with purpose and meaning. This applies to mothers too, by the way, but it's Father's Day, so we're just roll that. Every moment, there is purpose and meaning. There is weight and responsibility. It is amazing. And it's amazing because we know this isn't about me. God has entrusted something to my wife and I, people. And I want to be faithful. I want to do this well. The creator of the universe, for whatever reason, thought this was a good idea. I want to do the best I can. It is a rich feeling. It is a deep feeling. Now imagine having that sense of purpose for every endeavor God has for you. Imagine having that sense of purpose as you walk into your workplace or as you wrestle with keeping your home or volunteering, greeting, whatever. That everything you decide to pursue, you have this sense, God is walking with you. He said, take care of this. And you're like, what does that mean? Okay, well, let me explain to you how that relates to the fryer trap. I'm gonna explain that to you. Because sometimes it's hard. It's hard to know. How do we glorify God in this role? We're going to talk about that too in the weeks to come. But do we even have that sense of purpose with our work? I read a few more stats this week. I read a lot of stats this week. 89% of bosses believe employees quit because they want more money. In actuality, only 12% of employees actually leave an organization for more money. Studies reveal that 80% of people leave their jobs and they cite a lack of appreciation as their reason for leaving. And you know what that says to me? Deep down, we want purpose. We do. We want to know that what we're doing matters and that it is appreciated. And I want to say this to you this morning, that if you're in Christ, anyone who has placed their faith in Jesus and is a follower of him, that you are appreciated. And what you are doing does matter. Even if no one around you communicates that, the God of the universe has given you things as a valuable member of his kingdom and entrusted them to you. And your investment in those things, the energy that you expend, it is appreciated. right? And sometimes it's hard to tell that, and we need to be able to go back to God's word, and we need to be able to go back in our times with God and hear that from him. Yes, this is important. My kingdom work is important, right? We do that with parenting too. When your kids are little, they don't say, thank you, daddy. They don't. They just cry and they scream and they spit stuff at you. That's what they do. And we go to other people and they assure us, no, this is super important. Let me assure you. And they will say thank you maybe someday. And the same is true for our work. And I know this might sound super cheesy to you guys. It kind of sounds cheesy to me. But whatever has been entrusted to you, even if it's cleaning up the fryer, it's a spiritual work. It is a spiritual work. It is a work that can be an act of worship to our God and our Creator. Every single thing that we do. But with each endeavor, we have a choice. We have to choose which kingdom we are going to serve. Are we going to work the way the world does, or are we going to work the way Jesus has called us to, with love and with integrity and with character, with excellence, with faithfulness? Are we going to create a kingdom culture where we live? That's what we were made for. We have so much more to say about these things. God's word has so much more. We haven't even scratched the New Testament yet. But this week, we'd like to start, and I just want you to wrestle with two questions. Two things to just start and think about, because I think we need to take our work out, and we need to examine it. We need to examine our attitudes. We need to examine our heart. We need to examine what's motivating us. So here are two things that I want you to wrestle with. I would love for you to write these down. Take your phone out. Make a note. Take a picture, though the quality's not that great. First question is this: what am I creating and cultivating in and through my work? What am I creating and cultivating in and through my work? Hopefully you can answer that. And the second is this: how am I taking care of the garden God has placed me in? The things that God has entrusted to me, how am I taking care of them? I think if we're going to recapture a vision for work, we need to honestly look at where we are. Look at the attitudes and perspectives that we've adopted. I think when I did that this week, I was pretty humbled to realize how much of the world's attitude had infected my work. And I'm in ministry. How sad is that, right? And we need to repent. And we need to rejoice that no matter where we are, however old you are, whatever job you have, whatever responsibilities God's given you, there can be honor, passion, and dignity that we live in daily in the work that we have. Let's ask God to restore that. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you so much that so much of life is richer and deeper and fuller than we ever imagined. And Lord, it is crazy for us to think. We come before you as a community, and we just tell you, it doesn't seem right to think that our work could be a joy, that it could be so infused with meaning and depth that we would wake up and be eager to see what you're going to do. But Lord, we want that vision. We do not want to be a people who are thinking, how do we get through the day? We want to be a people who believe and live as if you're real and that you are moving and that you have grand kingdom work that we get to participate in. Lord, please help us capture that vision for our lives. And Lord, I pray as you light a fire in us that that fire would spread, that there would be workplaces, neighborhoods, households, whole communities that would be changed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.